Hey, guys, you want to get some money down on the game tonight? Maybe you cashed on that game last night. Maybe your team covered. Well, you probably did it on mybookie.ag. Now that you got some bullets, go and fire them tonight on the baseball. Or, you know what, you can do it tomorrow night. Or you can bet the series right now. And they've got odds on everything, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college football, whether it's baseball, hockey. By the way, got a couple hockey plays for you tonight, all at mybookie.com. And if you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000. And they've got all kinds of sign-up bonuses, so make sure you pick the one that's right for you. And if you're already on there, keep an eye on your email, because they've got new reload bonuses for you all the time. And nobody pays out faster. When you win, you get paid. But you have to use promo code RADIO to get that exclusive double your money offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. Get in on the action, man. There's a lot going on. And if you've been thinking about it, go ahead and make the move. Play, win, get paid. Promo code RADIO at MyBookie.
The Blitz. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down! This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Blitz, hour number two, 713-780.
The Blitz.
It is The Blitz, man. I'm in such a great mood.
Heavenly bliss.
Hour number
being
two.
Here with me.
No, not that.
You love it.
No, somebody said on the Twitch channel, LOL Falcon, please, Jesus wasn't even before your time. So that's where the bliss came from, the heavenly bliss. I would have partied with Jesus. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also get us on the Twitch channel. You missed the first hour. A lot of Astros talk and, you know, including some about the incident, which we're not speaking of anymore. Congratulations, it's done. A couple of things, though, and this is where I don't think, and this is kind of where I don't want to get into too much history, but this is kind of a good time to do it while they're in the World Series. I don't think you guys appreciate what you have right now with this team, because I started following them when I was about, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old. And that would have been around 1971.
Yeah.
The first 10 years, they never had a winning record. They didn't have one until 72. They started in 62. Didn't have a winning record until 72, 73. And in those years, they won 84 games and 82 games. And one of them was a strike-shortened season. They were actually pretty good that year, 84 and 69. And then after that, it wasn't until 79 that they had a winning record. And they did for 2 years in a row, 79 and 80. 80 was the team that played the Phillies and lost. Heartbreaking. So this is where the heartbreak started in Houston sports, really, was then. That's the first one I remember, was that Phillies series where they should have won. Then they didn't have another winning record until 83. And then again in 85, but they only won 83 games. The first really good season, they won 96 in 1986. That is their 24th year of existence. And that was the team that lost to the Mets in one of the all-time great series. And then after that, again, two 82-win seasons. And when they finally got good in, it was really 97. That whole team, how many years do you think that Bagwell-Biggio team made the playoffs? Because it felt like every year, right?
Four?
Six.
Okay.
Six appearances, nine series.
Okay.
And that's really, for as long as those guys were there, and that kind of, and so that during that stretch, and then of course the dark years here starting in 2009 when they won 74 games, and then promptly it's 6 years in a row where they were just awful.
Yeah,
and so
let's not dwell on that.
I'm just saying. No, I'm trying to say this is kind of
started
like,
from the bottom.
Yeah,
Fred.
But you know what? You can't have pleasure without pain. And that's I'm reminding people that hey, this franchise, what it's doing now.
Unless you're the Yankees.
Yeah, well, that doesn't count because they just, you know.
And then it's like.
For them, it's not making it in a decade.
Yeah, they haven't made it in a decade. It's the first decade since the 1910s that they didn't make a World Series. And it's like, oh, it's trouble in New York, trouble in the Bronx. Well, okay. And, so, sorry you haven't made a World Series in 10 years. It must be devastating.
Yeah. Yeah, since 2009. Oh boy.
Oh, an embattled franchise that hasn't gone under 500 since like 1992.
There were a couple years you brought it up and I wound up doing it betting. They were like their win total was like 81 for the season.
They
never have losing records.
It's crazy, and that's why Vegas is dumb when they put up numbers like that, because they since Derek Jeter got drafted into that franchise, they have not won less than 81 games. I guess it was 1995 was the last time. Oh no, it was 1995. But that was strike shortened season.
Yeah.
So, their last full season that they lost less than 81 game, or they won less than 81 games, was 1992. That's unreal. I don't feel bad for them.
No, I don't either.
27 years in a row, you're over 500. Come on, man.
That's like, wow. I mean, that's amazing. But, yeah, their fans are upset.
Yeah.
Gosh.
They fire the GM, fire the manager.
Yeah. And guys, the whole point of the list was to give you guys something to argue about.
Yeah.
That's why you do things like that. I don't want anybody to agree with it.
Boy, you know how many times the Yankees have been under 500 since 1970?
No.
So basically the last 50 years?
Yeah.
Six.
Wow.
Six of those seasons, they finished under 500.
I kind of remember when I first started watching baseball. I remember them winning a World Series, but then nothing for a while. And then there was a time when like Don Mattingly was their best player and they weren't really winning. And, you know, I mean, they weren't winning World Series.
Yeah, that was like 1990.
Yeah.
Hard times.
Somebody said, is this season a bust if they don't win, fan perspective?
No.
No, not at all. Not,
you go to a World Series, it's not a bust.
No, and believe me, go look at how often it happens. So
I think if it started, like, the only way you can say that is, like, if you're the Dodgers and you get there 3 years in a row or whatever and you can't get over the hump, then you can start to say, okay, this is a disappointment.
Well, but especially a team that talented. After a while, I would say if you're the Dodgers and you had gotten back to the World Series and lost again this year, yeah, you should be disappointed because that would be three straight trips.
But, it's a rare thing to win the World Series. It's a rare thing to get to the World Series. If you get there, I don't think it's a disappointment. Hmm. You improved on what you did last year.
And you got that AL championship banner.
Yep.
Which, that's no small feat.
Nope.
And, yeah, that's the thing. People get so caught up in you have to win the championship.
No, that's not true.
The reality is, you look at this team over the last 3 years, what they've done has been fantastic. If you're an Astros fan, you should be thrilled because you've had an opportunity to watch them win one. They ran into a juggernaut last year, but still got to the ALCS.
Yep.
And this year, you got through a Yankees team that, you know, frankly, is as good as they are. They outplayed them at the right times in that series, and that's a lot to accomplish. You won 107 games. You got a Cy Young winner. You got a guy who's at least going to be second in the MVP. You've got the Rookie of the Year. I mean, you accomplished so much. That doesn't get thrown out the window if you don't win. But obviously, you'd rather win.
Yeah.
And because you're not going to get tons of chances to get here either. But I do kind of feel like the Nationals have a lot going for them here. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 21 says, just getting in the car and tuning in. Great meeting y'all yesterday. Have you touched on the aspect that the Astros are the villain this series and the Nats are the Cinderella team? I would guarantee, I would bet a small child that people outside of Houston are probably rooting for the Nationals.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think the whole country's got. I heard Granato talk about this morning that this game would do more than game one last year. Like, Dodgers and Red Sox? No, I don't think so. But I do think the Nationals are a really cool little Cinderella story.
Oh, no doubt. And well, as Cinderella as you can be, I mean, when you've been solid for the last, what, 10 years?
They have, but it's, I mean, they're almost a mirror image of the other Washington team that won a championship a couple years ago. They lost all those guys, and everybody gave up on them. They lost Bryce Harper. Everybody gave up on them. Well, it turns out they were still pretty good.
Yeah.
And all those years with him and Strasburg and Scherzer, to they've had the playoff failures. They've been the Braves, basically, the old-school Braves for a long time. But to finally get there, I think people around the country are rooting for him. So,
well, I think especially because, like we've talked about before, the Astros have sort of become...
They have become the villains.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Embrace your... We had a story on Sports Map last week. Embrace your inner sports villain, guys.
Yeah, big deal.
832 says, if the Astros don't win, they will become the 73-win Warriors. No, they won't because no. they didn't win 116 games like the Mariners did. Man, I went back and looked at that Mariners team when I was doing my how disappointing everything would be if they lost. That wasn't – you look at that roster, you're like, how the hell did they win all those games?
Yeah.
That was
– I mean, that was – there was a lot of pitching and, you know.
But even then, they didn't have that great a pitching staff. On the break, go look up the roster. You're going to be like, man, how did they win all those games? All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. And, guys, can I got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. And all during October, how about this? You go and I want you to go to Texas Mattress Makers because you're going to be able to do a good thing. If you're in the market for a bed, now's the time. Because they're doing the one-for-one bed donation. This is the sixth year they've done it. It's the most important thing they do. Every year it benefits the Houston Children's Charity. And here's what happens. If you go and you buy a mattress and spend $500 or more, they're going to donate a bed to a Houston child in need. That's right. And so you're going to save 50% off of what you pay in a retail store because they make them right there and sell them directly to you. And you can save 5 to 50% off factory prices. Go visit them today. Yvonne and the gang over there, they make great beds. They know everything about them. They're going to help you sleep better. They're going to put you on the bed that's perfect for you. You're going to save a bunch of money. And now you can get a bed for a Houston kid just by spending $500 or more. Visit them today, 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy or 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. TexasMattressMakers.com. The best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
I'm a nightmare dressed like a daydream. So it's going to be forever. Or it's going to go down.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Remember we're supposed to have Jerome here? Okay. I promise you guys a couple hockey plays real quick. Vancouver-Detroit over 6 goals tonight. And not as big a play, Toronto-Boston over 6.5. Toronto's on the second of a back-to-back. Lost last night. Backup goalie tonight. Usually their defense is really bad on the second of a back-to-back, so Boston should score. Toronto should score just enough to get you over the number. So those are my plays. 6-1 so far in the season.
Let's bang out a phone call while we wait on Jerome. David, been holding for the longest. What's up, David? Sports, David.
Yeah, how y'all doing today, guys?
We're good.
Go Astros.
Go Astros. What do you got?
Hey, that's cool. Yeah, I like hearing that. Hey, listen, guys, I want to maybe y'all remember. First off, Joe Sambito.
No, don't remember him.
Fred? You don't remember him?
No. I was born in 1980.
He was a real good saver. He come in there and he was a good reliever. And he was just real good. Maybe before your time, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you might remember these guys, Brad Ausmus and Caminiti.
Caminiti is one of those guys who he was a shooting star. I think we kind of know why he was a shooting star. Ausmus, I don't think he's even worthy of discussion on the list as far as best Astros. He was a good player.
He was a good player, but. And, I mean, I even there's people who swear he was the best catcher in Astros history, and maybe.
Maybe best defensive catcher.
Maybe defensively. But, you know, for his one, well, I think Brian McCann might, he's certainly the most accomplished guy to ever play catcher for the Astros, even though it was only 2 years.
Unless you count Biggio.
But he only did it for like a year. He didn't play catcher that long.
I think it was more than a year.
I have to go back and look at it. I don't think it was that long at all. I think he maybe did it a year, maybe two.
And Caminiti, when you go back and look at it, Caminiti's best years were with the Padres.
Yeah.
He hit in 4 years with the Padres, he hit 121 home runs. In 10 years with the Astros, he hit 103. So it's hard to say that he was one of the greatest Astros. I mean, he was a good player, yeah, and he was exciting because he was young and he was a stud, but...
Sambito was a lefty closer, as I recall, but, I mean, if you're going to go closer, it's Wagner and Smith, and it's about it.
Yeah.
I don't think the list goes much longer than that.
Yeah, best average for Caminiti in an Astros uniform was 294, so never hit 300 as an Astro. Never topped 20 home runs as an Astro. Never actually never topped 18 home runs as an Astro, so no.
Yeah, and... people keep asking about the assistant GM thing. We talked about it in the first hour. I got nothing else to say about
it. We've talked enough about it. I don't care that much.
Yeah, it's all on podcastarena.com. You can go check it out. I have nothing else to say. And I frankly have nothing else to say about it moving forward.
So. Boy, that we're looking at that Mariners roster. It's, I mean, their pitching rotation, which, by the way, I mean, Freddy Garcia, 18-6, Aaron Seeley, 15-5. Jamie Moyer 20-6, Paul Abbott 17-4, John Halama 10-7.
John Halama,
Joel Pinheiro 6-2 with a 2.03 ERA and 11 starts. That's I mean they got ridiculous stats out of guys who had no business putting up those kind of numbers, and then their bats. I mean, it basically everybody had a career year is what it boiled down to. John Olerud hit 302, batted in 95. Brett Boone, 331, 37 homers and 141 runs batted in.
Not to be confused with Aaron Boone, since everybody keeps calling Aaron
right.
Brett.
David Bell, 15 homers, 64 batted in. Mike Cameron, 25 home runs, 110 batted in, 34 stolen bases. Mike Cameron, for crying out loud. And then Ichiro and Edgar, they're two Hall of Famers. Ichiro... 350, 56 stolen bases.
Jeez.
And Edgar was 306, 23 homers, 116 batted in that year. So, everything just clicked for him. Pretty yeah. wild that the best team in Mariners history, and really in baseball history, didn't have A-Rod, didn't have Griffey, didn't have Buehner, didn't have Felix Hernandez,
or
didn't
Randy
have Randy Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah.
I mean, all the great players that went through the Mariners. I mean, the only Edgar and Ichiro are the only ones on that team. It's pretty wild.
Hey, if you get a chance, check out Sports Map today. There's basically places where you can watch the games. There's Jermaine's column on how Jose Altuve is his favorite baseball player of all time.
Who says that?
Jermaine.
Okay.
I think a lot of people feel that way about Altuve. And it was before he did this. I think this just kind of cemented it.
Who's your favorite?
It probably, well, you know what?
Don't tell me Babe Ruth or something like that. I want somebody you saw
play.
No,
you said favorite Astro.
No, I thought he said his favorite baseball player
of all time.
Yeah.
That's hard. I don't really have a favorite of all time. I mean, I loved watching Bonds play.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, because I think he was the most amazing.
He's the best I ever saw, certainly.
Yeah. But I also love watching Clemens pitch, and those are the Royd guys. So, allegedly,
big deal.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah,
those are probably two of my favorites. Although
I think Ricky Henderson was my favorite.
Yeah. As a team, I love those Cardinals teams that stole all the bases,
like Willie McGee and Vince Coleman,
yeah, and Lonnie Smith, yeah. And
Ozzie Smith.
Lonnie Smith and Ozzie Smith. Yeah, they were both. I like those teams a lot. I'll tell you, no, I'm going to go back. I think my favorite player for a while, and I guess you're going to notice a theme in this, was Jose Canseco.
That's a good one.
I loved the 30-30.
40-40.
Yeah, it was 40-40, excuse me. And when you had him, and McGuire and that team finally won a World Series.
Yeah. Thanks to Ricky.
Yeah. Ricky was part of it. But I loved watching him play. I didn't know at the time. So
you knew.
No.
Let's talk to Scott. Sports Scott.
Hey fellas. How we doing?
Great. What's up?
Long suffering Yankee fan here.
Yeah, hard time.
Brian Cashman absolutely should be fired.
Oh jeez.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah, tell me why.
Because he built a team that is built to feast on mediocre to bad pitching, playing Baltimore 27 times a year. When they get to October, the home runs go away, and nobody can buy a hit. How many that game Saturday shouldn't even have been close. They had bases loaded how many times? It didn't even score.
Here, let me tell you something, Scott, lifelong Yankee fan. Your team completely overachieved this year. No team has the kind of injury problems that team went through and makes it to the ALCS. I mean, it's unbelievable that they got that far because health-wise, they shouldn't have even been there. So to me, if you think the Yankees underachieved in any kind of way this season, I think you're out of your mind.
And guess what? Everybody's hitting goes down in the playoffs because the pitching gets better.
The Astros.
DJ LeMahieu was great in that series. Obviously, you being a Yankee fan, you're a lot closer to it and a lot more passionate about it. But I admired the hell out of what that team did this year. I kept looking up, and they're trotting out somebody else I've never heard of, and the guy's going 3-for-5 with two home runs. And you look at the pitching. I mean, you didn't have Severino for how long? I mean, okay. But I know a lot of you were pissed off they didn't sign Corbin. Would that have been the difference?
I mean, it would have been nice to have, sure.
Yeah. But
it also would have been nice if Severino were healthy all season long.
But again, this is a little bit of a lesson for Houston fans. That's a mentality of a team that wins all the time.
Right.
And if that's the mentality you're going to need to get to in a few years if you want to be a consistent winner.
Yeah.
That's the reality. I don't mind that fan opinion at all.
When you think about you got 18 games out of Giancarlo Stanton this year. 18 games. Gary Sanchez missed 50-plus games. Didi Gregorius missed 81 games. I mean,
missed quite a few in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-boom.
And Domingo Germán, who was, you know, one of their best guys all season long, he's not even available come playoff time because he's hurt. He won 18 games in the regular season and he's not there in the playoffs. To me, this team wildly overachieved. I don't think you can complain about this. If you said you're going to have this many injuries and your team is going to end up making it to the ALCS, pushing the Astros to 6, if you're not happy with that, I don't know what to tell you.
By the way, you shut down the Astros bats too.
Severino
had two games you won, they scored one run total.
Severino's going to pitch 3 games in the regular season. Good luck.
All right. Guess what, guys?
We're going to need CeCe Sabathia to make 22 starts in the regular season. Oh.
And then you broke him.
Jay Happ made 30 starts for that team. Come on.
Yeah. Jay Happ.
I mean, it's unbelievable they made it as far as they did. I think if you're upset about that.
Well, I don't know that it's unbelievable. I think they were clearly the second best team in the AL.
No, but what I'm saying is, what if the Astros, what if instead of doing what he did this year, Gerrit Cole pitched 3 games? What if what if Bregman only played half the season?
I don't think the Astros would be winning 103.
There's no way.
Which is what the Yankees were able to do.
What if George Springer played 18 games? I mean, these things are... And what if... Now imagine all those things happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, because at least when Springer missed time and Altuve missed time and Correa missed time, it was all... It wasn't all at the same time.
Right.
And you were good enough to overcome a lot of that. But no, I think that I think this is a big offseason for the Yankees. So they're going to have to make a move to get past the Astros. Yep. Gerrit Cole may be signing. Gerrit Cole may be it. All right. Hey, guess what, though? That's next season. This season, it's basketball season. Rockets basketball just a few days away. And if you've been waiting for that Westbrook-Harden combo, now is the time. The first three home games of the season are all must-watch. First off, Thursday night, opening night, Rockets versus Bucks. How about this? The last three NBA MVPs on the same court. Westbrook, Harden, and that guy for the Bucks who won it last year. All three on the court at the same time. Pelicans come to town on Saturday, October 26th. And finally, remember Chris Paul? He comes back to Houston with the Thunder. That'll be Monday, October 28th. You get to see CP3 versus Harden, CP3 versus Westbrook. That one's going to be intense. And these games will all be definite sellouts. So secure your tickets today. Go to Rockets.com. You won't want to miss it. This is going to be a fun season, man. They made the biggest possible move in the offseason to bring in Westbrook. So here it is, Harden and Westbrook, Rockets.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
I just saw this tweet from Bernardo where he said this Nationals team is the 2005 Astros. I disagree. I mean, both teams had top tier front end pitching. That, I mean, obviously Clemens Pettit Oswalt was incredible that season, but the Astros couldn't hit that season. I mean,
people forget Bagwell was done.
Yep,
and it was basically Berkman.
That team, the Astros in 2005, out of 16 National League teams, ranked 11th in runs scored. The Nationals this year, out of 15 National League teams, ranked 2nd. This is a much better offense than that Astros team.
And
was.
Not only that, this team has its starters lined up. And this is why the win was so important Saturday night, because the Astros would have not had their starters lined up the way they wanted them. In 2005, the Pujols home run meant Oswalt had to pitch the game to get him there, and then he couldn't pitch until game three, and it was just the rotation was a mess. So I don't see the parallel. No,
I mean they had a bunch of bats in that lineup. They had a bunch of Chris Burke and Willie Taveras and Jason Lane and Adam Everett and Morgan Innsbruck. I mean,
yeah,
these are
just because you love those guys didn't mean they could play.
Yeah, they weren't on the level of this Nationals team. So I disagree with that comparison. I don't want to say I guarantee it. It's incredibly unlikely that this Nationals team gets swept out of the World Series. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's unlikely. I mean, it's possible. It's possible Astros get swept, but I don't think, you know. And
I think it's like plus 1900 or something for the Nationals to sweep.
That seems low. That seems very low to me. That there's no value in that. Should be like 2,700. Tankventry on Twitch. Holy crap, you're on Twitch. Looking good, Falcon. Feeling good, Billy Ray. As mentioned, Sports Map earlier. There's all kinds of good stuff on there. But also wanted to mention we have a new website, Automotive Map, and go and check that out if you're into cars at all. It's one of our new products here. It's really well done, and looking forward to it being successful. And I says, you guys are nuts, man. The Astros did the exact same bleep the Yankees did with a weaker lineup and rotation in 2018. What does 2018 have to do with what we're talking about?
I don't know exactly what he means, but if you mean Altuve missing he missed what, 25 games last year? Correa missed 50. Who else missed time last year for the Astros? Anybody of note?
I don't remember, but I mean.
But none of those guys were, I mean, when you talk about taking Giancarlo Stanton, who in 2018 was just a monster, 38 home runs, 100 RBI, now he plays 18 games. Missing 25 games for Altuve is not the same as the Yankees' best hitter from 2018 missing 144 games. Severino was their best pitcher in 2018. He pitched 3 games this season. They had multiple injuries. Aaron Hicks, their starting center fielder, was out most of the season. I mean, it just kept piling up and piling up. DJ LeMahieu was playing first base because Greg Bird was out for the season. They just could not keep guys healthy. It's you're talking about a couple guys missing some games. Every team has that. What the Yankees had this season was an obnoxious amount of injuries.
Domingo Germán was suspended. Not
that's yeah, you're right. He, unavailable.
Domestic violence.
Yeah, not good.
So, but yeah, I don't really see the. I mean, other than they got their ass kicked in the ALCS a lot worse than the Yankees did. But I don't, it doesn't all have to be about the Astros.
Dellin Betances misses basically the whole season. I mean,
he's pretty good.
He's all right.
He's pretty good.
Like Aaron Judge, he's tall.
No, Judge missed time this year too.
Missed time, yeah.
So, I mean, he had less than 30 homers, so he missed a lot of time. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And just FYI, Alvarez will bat seventh, game one and two, and that's a guy who needs to get going.
And we'll see on game three, right?
I'm guessing. You'd like to have a decision there, which means he's gone off in one of these two games or both of them.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he won't play. I mean, if he's swinging it'll be an easy decision. If he's swinging the bat like he did against the Yankees, he's not playing game three. And if it's a hard decision, then that's a good thing. That means you're probably up 2-0.
Right.
Did you see what Michael Jordan said about your favorite player?
What did he say?
Steph Curry?
What did he say? He's a punk? Well, sissy?
We know he's that, but that's not what he said.
What did he say?
He said he's not a Hall of Famer. Not yet.
Michael Jordan, why is he? He's got like this bitterness syndrome that I don't understand. I guess I kind of get his bitterness towards LeBron because people talk about LeBron being in the discussion with him. No one talks about Steph Curry being the greatest basketball player of all time. But Steph Curry is a multiple-time league MVP. And by the way, everybody's in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that let's start with
I got news for you. Steph Curry's a Hall of Famer already. If Steph Curry's head falls off tomorrow, he's had a Hall of Fame career by basketball standards.
Yeah, basketball is by far the most inclusive of all the Hall of Fames. So, yeah, that part of it's kind of silly. But here's what Curry's got. 6 All-Star teams, 3 championships, 2 MVPs, scoring title. And career 43.6% three-point shooter.
Yeah, he's the best shooter that's ever played basketball.
But he's not a Hall of Famer.
Not a Hall of Famer. God, the Jordan bitterness is really, really annoying.
I think it's time to kind of retire.
But people just ask him that stuff, just to charge him up. I can't imagine Jordan volunteered it, and if he did, he's super petty.
He was asked whether he would still take Magic, Hakeem, James Worthy, and Scottie Pippen as his 4 teammates going up against anyone. He said he would. And the questioner brought up Steph Curry, and that's when he said he wasn't a Hall of Famer yet. So he didn't need to go there. You could have just said, yeah, he's a great player, but I like these 4 better.
Not a Hall of Famer yet. Okay.
Well, technically, he's right. He's not in the Hall of Fame yet. He hasn't been elected hasn't retired. Oh, boy. Somebody just go to bed, old man. So...
Yeah, I don't get that, and I mean, especially because, again, there's an obnoxious amount of dudes in that Hall of Fame. It seems like everybody's a Hall of Famer. So if all these guys are Hall of Famers that are getting in, if Arvydas Sabonis is a Hall of Famer, Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer.
And this is going to sound wrong, but is there anything more pathetic than a former athlete looking for attention?
But he's the one guy who doesn't need it. You know what I mean?
But I know. But he's still. It's everybody though, because once you're not the center of attention for everything anymore, you've got to do stuff to be the center of attention. You know, and I'm not going to name any names, but there were athletes who would have nothing to do with being interviewed when they were playing, who now would beg to come on the show, and be able to talk, because once you lose that relevance, it's the only people that remember you are old people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's sad because they get so hungry for any attention because they miss it.
So what you can do if you really want to get into the Hall of Fame discussion is compare side by side Reggie Miller's career numbers with Steph Curry's career numbers and career achievements And you tell me Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer already?
Yeah, I
mean, I'm sorry. There's not a debate, and it's silly for Michael Jordan to say, and almost weird for him to say that. Alonzo Mourning's in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Well, Tracy McGrady's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Tracy McGrady's in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. There's no argument against. You just can't make one. You can't make an argument against Steph Curry. I won't hear it.
Yeah, he's just trying to be relevant still, publicly. I mean, he obviously makes tons of money and still sells a bunch of shoes, but...
Dino Raja's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Dino Raja. Mm. Come on. Vlade Divac is in the Hall of Fame.
Did you see this bit that Schefter believes Brady's about to leave the Patriots at the end of the year?
No, I haven't seen that.
Do you? We'll come back with that. We're going to take a quick break, though. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz. Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, the one thing that I would say there, David, is that playing for the Patriots at this point would seem to be the least likely of those three options. And you would think it would be the most obvious one to happen. And I don't know whether that means he retires, which he certainly doesn't seem to want to do, and he's certainly still playing at a high level, or whether that means he goes on to play with another team. But again, we're just boiling this down and looking at the basic facts of the situation. Just like, again, he's selling his house, his trainer's selling his house, he's voiding his contract. Tom has been very clear about the fact he'd like to play. So, again, we'll make the assumption that he's setting it up for him to leave New England, and we'll make the assumption that he wants to keep playing, and if he wants to keep playing and he's leaving New England, well, but yeah, you'd figure that would mean that he'd be moving on to somewhere else.
Where would he go?
I mean, I'm sure there's teams who would want him.
Oh, yeah. No question.
I think it's a game of chicken between him and Belichick to see, because everybody says, oh, Belichick wouldn't have all these rings without Tom Brady. Tom Brady wouldn't have all these rings without Belichick. I think they both kind of want to know, but they also don't both really want to find out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chuck, this is back to the last segment. Jordan couldn't speak about Curry because as an owner, he gets fined for discussing current players. Check out Magic Johnson's tweet. He explained it. Hashtag pay attention. Hashtag once again, you guys are off base. This is literally a quote from NBC's Today show. Not a Hall of Famer yet. He's not. Like,
no, okay. We don't need to hear him saying it.
Yeah, we're off base.
You Jordan not, apologists are such dickweeds.
Pay
my
attention.
God.
We're off base. I mean,
now you're off base.
There's
sir.
The quote. I mean, that's a quote from Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's
Chuck.
Talking about him specifically. So, what?
Yeah, is he going to be fined for it?
I don't know. God. Guys, stop bleeping Jordan's bleep. Oh, by the way, join us in the Usual Suspects out at Twin Peaks Kirby location Thursday from 1 to 7 p.m. for Halloween Costume Party Week, featuring plenty of eye candy wrapped in leather and lace. Stop by Twin Peaks Kirby. Grab one of their 29-degree beers with us Thursday, October 24th, from 1 to 7 p.m. My goodness. I'm not going to get started. You should never bring up Michael Jordan in any conversation because there's a segment of the population that thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah.
And the truth is, he was a lousy human being.
Well, you
wrote
the book about
player.
It. Jesus just left Chicago. Mm-hmm. That was like when Michael Jordan retired. You wrote that book.
Nope, that wasn't about him.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's like, but believe me, anybody who grew up watching Space Jam is never going to take anything negative about the guy or even perceive negative. That's just, you know, if you were a Jordan fan, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like he had one of the, he had one of the worst Hall of Fame speeches in forever. And Jordan apologized. Oh, no, that was great. No, it wasn't. The guy was a great basketball player. He ain't the brightest star in the galaxy.
I've got bad news.
What?
Texans release Logan Paulson.
His name was Logan Paulson.
That's all we've got to say about that.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, let's say you're at home, and you've got it when your kid was 2 years old, your first one.
Okay.
And you wake up.
You got to remember, my first kid was bad when he was little.
Well, how about you wake up?
And he's got a knife to your throat. Yeah, I know.
No, not that. Not that. Okay. Yeah, that's what mine did. But you hear the water running. And you walk in, and a strange woman is trying to give your two-year-old son a bath.
Okay.
Apparently, this woman woke up to the sound of her dog barking and went to see what was happening. I get up and walk to my door. And the way my house is set up, I can look down the hall. I see a white female lady bent over the tub with my two-year-old in the tub.
Oh, makes sense.
The home intruder, identified as Elizabeth Hickson, 22, briefly scuffled, and the woman's boyfriend held her in place until police arrived. She was arrested and charged with burglary and posted bond. Her mother told NBC4 that she had good intentions and meant no harm. What was that about, by the way?
I'm not.
Are we not supposed to? I don't know. I'm just
someone
never mind.
Just came by and opened the door.
I'm just trying to do the Gem of the Day here. Yeah, but apparently she just wanted to give a baby a bath. Didn't have one of her own.
Is that a crime?
Yes, it is when you break into someone's house and then scuffle with them and touch their baby naked.
Oh, okay. Well, fine.
Just saying.
I guess that's a crime.
Well, yeah, it is a crime. And this was in Ohio, which is kind of the Florida of the Midwest. We get a lot of Ohio stories. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right.
I had a secondary gem, if you don't mind hearing it.
Sure.
A woman was getting married. And the night before she got married, she's in her fancy hotel room, and she gets a text from a number she doesn't recognize. And it's a bunch of screenshots of texts between her husband-to-be and his side piece. And it said, "I wouldn't marry him, would you?" So she's like, oh boy, she's broken up. She's supposed to marry this guy tomorrow. All her friends and family are in town, and there's pictures of them together, and she's really broken up. Well, her friends wanted her to call the wedding off immediately. She decided to do something better. She went down the aisle, and when they read their vows, she read the text messages out loud to the entire audience of the wedding, referring to his lover's body as bleeping incredible, to wishing that his fiance had half the skills you do. She even read, "I miss you so much. I can't stop thinking about bleeping you. I've never had this kind of connection before." And she read these until the groom just walked off the stage. And then she had one hell of a party, she says, at the reception. So I thought that was interesting. That's a good way to at least take him down.
Yeah. Well played. Well played. That's your backup gem of the day. So I said, just a question. If you were able to get Michael Jordan for a radio interview, stuff y'all said with him looking for attention, would y'all tell him that in the interview? What's kind of cool about radio is you can talk a lot of smack and actually never have to meet a guy to tell him how you feel. First off,
if we asked him that question and he said Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer, would we challenge him?
Yes.
100% yes.
And what? Because, listen, I don't like Michael Jordan. I never have.
So
let me just make that clear. I think.
What would we have to lose? Like,
yeah.
Michael Jordan's not going to come on your show ever again? Okay.
He's never coming on the show anyway. And if he did,
do you think the program director would fire us for going back at him?
I don't think so.
I think it's unlikely.
What if you hit it off and he gives you each a million shares of Jordan brand?
I don't think that would happen.
I mean, he could do that.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And I got no interest in interviewing the guy. Like I said, I just don't like him.
I would interview him. I mean, I think he's one of those names if you get a chance to. I mean, I don't know what I'd interview him about. I'd have to. But I love interviewing people. I love interviewing extremely famous people. I love getting like I try to get something out of those guys that you wouldn't typically get. But I'm not afraid to challenge back at guys that I'm interviewing.
This show would also be launched for two guys who combated Michael Jordan and called him out on his bluff when nobody else does.
Yeah, we'd be famous. Yeah,
I'd like to ask him.
That'd go viral.
We'd be on Deadspin.
I'd like to ask him some gambling questions because I've had some people who might have played cards with him back in the day. I'd love to ask those kind of questions and see what he has to say. But there's a lot of guys that I'd like to interview that I don't really like because those to me that's going to be the best interview.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna hold back, and if he wants to hang up. I don't care. We'll wind up on Deadspin. Fine with me. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Well, I'll tell you who I don't hate, Lawyer Dave. Because Lawyer Dave is the man. And if you need a lawyer, there's nobody else to call. And the reason for that is because he's gonna win. That's one thing those two guys have in common. Lawyer Dave is a winner. What's going on, Dave?
Just rooting on the Astros in about an hour and pretty proud of those boys for getting to the World Series again.
Well, that's a pretty good effort. And you know what? What if somebody's going to the game and they're in an accident on the way? What are they going to do?
As long as it isn't you running over some pedestrian, I'll gladly represent them and help them get medical treatment if they don't have any money. We'll get them to a doctor without any money up front. If they want to just come and consult with me, we always do that for free. Get a hold of me, boys, 713-626-8900.
And you practice everywhere in Texas, so it doesn't have to be in Houston, right? Beaumont, Golden Triangle, all over the place.
You bet. Last Thursday, I was out in Beaumont on a case, and then Friday, I was down in Laredo on a case. So we're nationwide, as a matter of fact.
And the best part is you don't get paid until they win. You don't charge for consultations, and if they need medical help because of the accident, you're going to help them out.
Yep, there's no money comes out of the pocket of any of my clients until we get to the point of winning the case or settling the case. No money for medical bills up front, no money for consultations, no money for me. We put all the money to work up a case out of our pocket to help these folks out, especially those that don't have a whole bunch of money to throw around, like most of us.
All right, tell them how they can get in touch with you, Dave.
Hit me up at 713-626-8900. Or LawyerDave.com, or LawyerDaveLaw is my Twitter handle, or get a hold of Fred. He knows how to find me 24/7.
Yeah, basically, if you can't remember all that, just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll get you into the right place. That's my man. You need a lawyer. Better dial Dave.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.